Yeah, the good old days are past and gone. A lot of good people are done, gone, gone. Well, that's my life. Oh, when I sing this song about back in the good days.
All right. We're back. It's August, what, 26th, 2024. Another episode of Farm Talk. I'm joined with Casey Pascura.
Hey, everyone out there.
What's up, Casey? How you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Enjoying all this beautiful rain and the abundance produced from the sun and the plants. And yeah, excited to meet with you here. Encourage people to call in if you have any questions. This is Farm Talk. It's a call-in show as we also discuss what's going on out there.
Give us a call at 970-963-2976 if you want to chat about your farm or your garden or what's going on the land, if you have any questions or if you have anything to share with us. So, yeah, the sun is finally out. That's pretty cool. It feels like summer again.
I imagine we're going to see some quite green pastures and plants after all that rain.
Holy moly. It already is so green in the Roaring Fork Valley and going up the Crystal as well. I just got back from a weekend in the North Fork Valley over in Paonia as well, and it's even green there. I mean, it's, of course, the fruit trees are just out of control, just drooping.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, let's hope that this is kind of a new norm. It's been, I can get used to this. I mean, some people, I guess, if they're out trying to recreate, it's a little bit different. But for us working the land, we sure do enjoy this rain.
It's funny, I think in June that I was saying, wow, this is one of the wettest Junes I've ever remembered. And now I'm saying it about August.
Yeah, I mean, could this be a new trend for our region? It does feel that way to me.
Do you know what's going on with what's coming from the Pacific? What kind of phenomenon is it? Because, I mean, it is phenomenal. I would say, I want to say August 10th is when we had those big mudslides on Red Hill that closed down Highway 82. August 10th, so here we are on the 26th. It seems like it's hardly let up, you know?
You know, I'm not completely up to speed with it, but I've heard La Nina mentioned. I think it has to do more with, you know, yes, obviously what's going on in the Pacific, but also like the fact that I think we have a lot more better soil health than we have maybe 10 years ago in certain places. Yeah. And people are making changes, and perhaps we're promoting a strong microhydrologic cycle that could be benefiting.
We're loving the land. And yes, we are. It does seem like we're all encouraging each other to be better stewards to the land. And, you know, I think I don't want to get all woo-woo, but that has a vibration, in my opinion, and it really does work to have the results that you envision and dream, you know?
Yeah, I was listening to there's a agronomist out there. His name is John Kemp. If you've tuned into Farm Talk, you've probably heard me mention him before, but he has a podcast that's the Regenerative Agriculture Podcast, and runs a company called Advancing Eco Agriculture, and they do a Ask Me Anything every month. A lot of growers from across the country, regenerative, organic-minded growers, and he was mentioning that influence to the, you know, microhydrologic cycle, let's call it local weather, happening at, you know, if you change acreages as small as 100 acres, that you could affect the water cycle, and that they're starting to get more understanding of this. So you can imagine if you get a few thousand acres sequestering more carbon, not overgrazing, you know, maximizing photosynthesis, could have a compounding effect.
Yep. It doesn't necessarily have to be some high-tech solution to what's going on with the carbon issue on the planet. It's pretty easy to sequester carbon just by, you know, planting trees and planting more plants and allowing them to be and thrive.
Keeping the soil covered.
That's right. So what's going on up at the Sunfire Ranch, Casey?
Oh, we've had quite the season. I mean, we're in the midst of our CSA, so shout out to all our CSA customers out there that I think are eating really well. And so kind of what I would say is peak harvest of the summer spring vegetables as we start to like start to peek in on the winter vegetables and think about, you know, the leeks, the potatoes, the things that will sustain us later into the season. The pastures are all really thriving. We've had basically one grazing across all the irrigated pastures. They've all recovered and they're growing to be nice and thick. And we're experimenting this year with actually trying to not hay at all. Mm-hmm. And do what's known as stockpiling pasture. So you just leave standing growing cover and then graze that as deep into the winter as you can before a feeding. We'll buy some hay in and supplement our herd. But, you know, I think if I had to think of the most sustainable way of doing things where you wouldn't be, would be that herds would spend their summers in the upper valleys and their winters on stockpiled pasture in lower valleys. Probably how the buffalo moved around. So,
and I imagine y'all are paying attention to the diversity of the different grasses, and you know, I don't know if there's alfalfa and clover. What else is there?
Yeah. So promotion of diversity is at the heart of regenerative agriculture, and for the main reason that diversity below the plants in the soil thrives with a diversity of root exudates. So in general, you're trying to look at any given piece of ground and having a minimum of four plant families. So not just legumes and grasses, but mm-hmm. other forbs being represented. So, you know, dandelion, other weed species that people think are bad but are actually building great soil. And so,
yeah,
you know, as you do manage grazing, naturally diversity comes. But at the same time, I've been working with another farm on some bigger pasture renovation, and we're, you know, planting these 20 species pasture blends no-till into the pastures. And so it's, yeah, it's at the, you know, it's our guiding star. How much diversity can we get?
And
planned grazing, it just naturally happens. It just starts, you're just like, wow, that happened.
Yeah, and for some of you new listeners out there, I'm speaking with Casey Pascura, who is up 133 outside of Carbondale, the right-hand side. I guess that's to the west on Sunfire Ranch. And that's it's 5 generations the Sewell family has been up there ranching. And it's a lot of land, huh? Like,
there's 1,200 acres, but there's a bunch of different, you know, acreages in different types of management. So we have some from seasonally irrigated, meaning irrigated until the water drops out of the mountains, to irrigated year round, to range lands that are, you know, sagebrush. And so there's, you know, we're trying to manage all that so that it thrives. And management could be something like on a range land where we may graze it once every 2 years because we want to promote diversity, but then actually like that action of a heavy hoof impact and spreading of seed and things can help create ridges in the soil that help aggregate water and to, you know, managing the bottomlands, like daily moves or even moving cattle more than once a day with paddocks that then
that's awesome.
When you have you get what's called a, you know, the herd, basically the tighter the herd, the less selective they are. And so if you tighten them up, they'll graze evenly and not just eat what they want. And sometimes if the paddocks are big, like if you just turn a big, you know, turn a few cows in a large paddock, they're going to eat all the things they like first. And then they'll even come back to them. And then those things, which can be really healthy for the cows, get out-competed. And so, you know, by daily moves, we can help promote diversity. It's also kind of emulating previous cycles. But then, you know, on a irrigated pasture, they'll pass through. And then, you know, that may not be grazed again, but once more that year. Or maybe we want to actually let all the legumes go to seed in that section, or have the plants express different parts of their life cycles. And so there's a bunch of different strategies going on to promote a regenerative ranching.
Are you guys doing any tours of the farm coming up?
Yeah. So it hasn't been public yet, but we are going to be having our big end of season tour, kind of farmer appreciation party with Tommy the Animal.
Oh, cool.
Closing the night. So great. Everybody should come out, see the farm, and that'll be like, you know, everything from the vegetables to the seed production to the pastures. And then we'll all have a dinner, talk about kind of trajectory of the organization, and then finish up the night with that'll be September 21st.
September 21st. That's like the equinox, or just about, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I went in one of the last couple of years, and it's a great time. You'll meet lots of, you know, like-minded people, and Casey will talk your ear off if you have any questions, you know, and you can see firsthand what's going on up there and meet some really exciting people in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's exciting, the movement in general in the country. I think people are waking up to the reality of how important our food is, how it affects the climate, how it affects human health. And yeah, there's a lot of great energy and great things going on. So thanks for everybody who supports it.
And how can listeners find out more about supporting it?
Visit farmco.org, seedpeace.org, wildmountainseeds.com, sunfireranch.com, or .farm.
Now, I want to move on to, you said you just got back from a farm, right? And another seed grower or a distributor. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, part of our programming is to take our apprentices and farm managers, you know, to out into the community. And we just visited Laura Parker of High Desert Seed over in Paonia, which was amazing. She had like some really interesting things growing, like things that you wouldn't really necessarily consider that people would grow around here, like upland rice and sesame. Ooh. And she was doing a trial of edamame, or, you know, fresh eating soybean. And it was just great to connect with another seed person. It's funny that we live so close. It used to be a little farther away. She moved from Ridgeway to Paonia, But we, when we meet at the seed conferences, it's all the Colorado and kind of crazy alpine seed growers all gather together and trade shop. So,
and what's the name of this farm again?
High Desert Seed.
High Desert Seed.
Highly recommend her seed. You'll see it. I believe, I'm not sure if she has a seed rack on this side of the pass. She did at Skip's for a little while Skip's Market was happening. But yeah, she's a really great person.
I saw one of her seed racks at Big B's Delicious Orchard over there, you know, between Paonia and Hotchkiss. Yeah, worth checking out. And also, where do you sell your seeds at, you know, retailers around this area, Casey?
So we just do online.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah,
part of it was let Laura have that market.
Cool.
The seed rack market. And then, so right now we're all sales are run online for seed, wildmountainseeds.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, like we started off saying, we've been having just wonderfully wet weather most of the month of August. And in fact, in the last few days, feeling, you know, quite chilly at night, even in the daytime sometimes. And I wanted to ask you if you have been gauging any of that, of like some of your lowest temps that you've been hitting recently.
You know, we haven't, but I think this is, if a gardener is out there and their radar is going on, that it's time to start thinking about fall and looking at, you know, I'd be wanting to look and see when's that full moon in September. Maybe think about, should I, you know, when could be my first frost, and maybe make a little plan as the guard starts to go up.
Yeah,
in September that hasn't been.
Definitely, that's sort of the average here is about mid-September for that first frost. And yeah, so.
Well, I think the good context for people to understand is that just because it frosts doesn't mean it's going to be a killing frost or it's going to be a heavy frost. And it may only happen for a few days, you know, during that full moon cycle. So, you know, if you got a sheet.
Yeah,
and you throw that sheet over your tomatoes,
maybe that could just fine.
That could maybe get you in the, you know, second week of October or third week of October, and it's just, I think we just don't pay attention generally. Yeah. A lot of people get caught.
It seems to me that we always have like a super mild October that is like really sunny and crisp, you know, and yeah, and if you just cover things for, you know, those few times that it happens, then it seems like you could really extend the season outside.
It's huge. And you know, another thing I'm starting to think about right now is like fall cover cropping, you know, where you might have some of those crops like tomatoes and peppers and like what's going to inhabit that soil after, and looking at, you know, acquiring some types of cover seeds. And what I usually like for gardens are annuals, like, you know, again, the four family rule, try to cover the four families. So, you know, oats or cereal grass, I wouldn't plant, you know, something that's not perennial, you know, legumes. I love favas and field peas. And then, you know, I'm going to throw some edible cold hardy things in there, like spinach and arugula or kale, like there, now you've got two more species in there.
Oh, heck,
and,
yeah.
You know, throw some buckwheat and now you got a whole like smorgasbord of good stuff going on, lettuce. And you know, it's just like the spring really should never end for a gardener. You're always planting something.
Yeah. Well put, man. And I was gonna say, think about where you're gonna plant your garlic. Now as well, you know, before some of those bare beds get out of hand by November.
Yeah.
Since we last spoke in July, we were just about to harvest garlic. And how did that go for y'all?
It went good. I mean, we definitely were a little behind and that, but it was good. And so it's all drying down. And well, we're excited to kind of, we'll grow it a little bit, a couple more beds,
yeah,
for this next year. Such a staple.
What's something that is just like out of control right now that you're harvesting?
we had our like peak tomato kind of boom, okay, where the plants really peaked up.
Yeah.
And then now we're kind of getting into more like the sustainable week to week push. Kind of, I don't know if you've experienced that. They tend to kind of have one window. And so that was huge. You know, we've continued our prowess in the carrot world is great. We have a really nice carrot seed crop from selected taste tested carrots that should really like be the backbone of our genetic movement on that crop. So for a lot of these crops, especially carrots, we found the best variety by trialing many, many, many varieties. And now take that variety, select it, improve it year in and year out to the point of like, it just like every year it's so consistent. And now we're just like, how can we move 300, 400 feet of carrots?
Yeah.
And you start to get in a whole nother series of issues, you know, because if you leave it too long in the ground, it could split.
Yeah.
But as a seed person, perhaps if you knew that was a problem of the future and you get to a zone and it's all split, well, the ones that didn't split in that should be, you could store them and plant them, and then you're breeding against splitting.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a lot of like the dream work of like, I think Seed Peace, the collective of farmers around here being like, let's make those carrots that will always perform. Keep that seed here.
Choose the best seeds. Well, we just have a little bit of time left. If you want to give us a call and have any comments, suggestions, questions, whatever, the number is 970-963-2976. And we just have a couple more minutes. So, yeah, what else? What are you looking forward to, Casey?
Just, I think the biggest thing is like consciousness evolving to understand land management better year over year. And, you know, getting to where it's like, we're not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And when you start doing that on a bigger scale and start promoting diversity and promoting the scale of regeneration and maximizing photosynthesis and sequestering carbon, it's just like what they call it, the trophic cascade of amazing things that happen.
Trophic cascade. Let's boogie on out of here. We'll see y'all next month, and we'll be harvesting a lot of stuff then. Stay tuned for My Own Two Hands coming up.